Welcome to the Agricultural Economics Podcast at Purdue University. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Ken Foster, the head of the department. Ken, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jessica. Today's a little different podcast for us, I think. I think the subject matter is a little bit more serious, so I'll try not to make any jokes this morning if I can avoid that.
We are definitely going to talk about a very serious subject that's affecting a lot of rural communities and a lot of communities in general. And joining us is Dr. Janet Ayers, who is a professor at Purdue University in the Department of Agricultural Economics, and she's also the director of the Center for Rural Development. Janet, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my delight.
Yeah. So why don't you go ahead and talk to us about, give us an introduction of what we're going to discuss today.
Well, in a broader sense, we started a series about rural issues back about 3 years ago, looking at various sorts of things. So first of all, what is rural? And in Indiana, it's a bit hard to define because as you travel around the state, it looks like, well, isn't the whole state pretty much rural? But in fact, we started to look at the data of the 33 most rural counties in the state because a lot of data is collected on a metropolitan statistical area for economic data and information that makes a lot of sense because of commuting patterns. But when we look at data by a metropolitan statistical area, it includes 14 counties in our state, such as Carroll County, where I live, Ohio County, Switzerland, some of our other, Benton County, some of our other really rural counties. And so when we look at social issues, it's a little different story. And actually, the data and what's happening can be masked when we look at MSA data. So we started to look at how we define rural and then look at some of these issues in terms of what's going on in these rural communities. And we started with looking at some of the population changes and economic indicators. We've also done things on food security or insecurity. And by looking at rural in a little different definition in terms of looking at the population size in the county, what's the size of the largest town, and then what's the what we call population density, how many people are there per square mile. That's a real factor in looking at some of these social issues, and it's quite different than looking at economic issues. So we have discovered some things. We know our rural counties are aging. We know that from the services that we have in our rural counties, but in fact, that's what we found in the data. We're aging rather rapidly as our younger people leave, which has real consequences on healthcare facilities for the future, and I think some great opportunities there in terms of facilities for the aging population. It also is affecting our schools in a much smaller school population. So by looking specifically at these most rural counties in the state and defining them in a little different way, we've been able to uncover some things. And our latest paper has been on methamphetamine use. And that we have discovered is a little bit different than when we look at the urban areas. And we were very fortunate to have the Indiana State Police being very generous with us and working with us on interpreting the data and looking at the data and making sense of it. And so we just produced a paper on methamphetamine use in rural counties.
Why did you decide to address this subject next in your rural series papers?
Because I live in a rural community. I don't live here in West Lafayette. I live out in a rural community, and I know that it's an issue. My husband is a CASA volunteer, an advocate for children in the court system, and we've seen that grow the past couple of years, and my neighbors and colleagues, people I know that are in law enforcement, this is something that's discussed. A great concern, but we don't know how to really get a handle on it. What we have learned in doing this paper is two types of methamphetamine use and where it comes from. And the urban areas are getting methamphetamines from Mexico, and the more urban communities that are on the interstates. It's traveling, and it's being bought and sold. And it also is related to gangs because of it being sold and gang-related activity. In the rural areas, it's a little different type of activity that's going on because the rural areas are more isolated. There's vacant properties. There's not necessarily people around. You can be more secluded. People are making meth, and they're using it. So it's for their own use. They're not necessarily selling it in general. And so what we're seeing is some of the consequences of that is that because it is so terribly addictive, it's being made in areas where there are children. Children are being neglected. It's very hard for people to hold a job when they're on meth. Because of its addictive nature, and this is affecting our rural communities in terms of employment, in terms of the need for some of the child services, an issue right now in our state is in terms of the number of children that are in the system really inadequate staff and funds to deal with the numbers that are just increasing, ever increasing. So there's a lot of policy issues here as we look down the road. So one of the questions I'm getting is, so what do we do in a rural community? And I am not an expert in methamphetamine use. I just know that it is an issue, and I know we need to do something. And I know that community leaders need to do something, and we just need to be aware of what we can do and start to examine some policies and some actions. I don't have the answers.
So Janet, in your discussions with law enforcement and through your husband and your interactions with people in the community, are there signals or signs that an individual or people in the community might recognize that would trigger them to help someone or reach out to someone or try to take some action?
Well, with continued use, there are sores and things that show up on the face. Also just the actions of people because it provides a real high and people are not able to function. And it is about getting help, and part of that is going to the services that are available in our communities through child and family services and mental health. And one of the things we've tried to do in Carroll County is what are those services that can help with this kind of addiction? So it says a lot, I think, about parenting. Before it ever gets to law enforcement, certainly teachers just had a leadership session yesterday out in a rural community, and this came up as a topic, and you know the teachers see it. And so how we communicate and connect with each other is one thing, and that's the awareness part, but then what are the services that we have available to us to help family members or others that we see. And those are areas where we need professionals helping to guide us.
So in some sense, just making ourselves more aware of what those services are in our community, our specific community, and maybe looking for gaps in those services.
Exactly. In Carroll County, we have talked about this through different forums that we've had. And so what do we have available, and how do we find it, and, you know, what's the number we call, or is it a website, or, and then the other thing is how do we bring people to those services?
That's what I wanted to ask you is, through this research and your observations and living in this rural community, what have you noticed that is really lacking? Is there anything that really jumps out that we're really missing that we could be doing to be helping these people?
transportation is a real issue in rural communities. So most of our services are in regional agencies, and so there may be a local person in our most rural areas, and we've learned this in the other rural issues papers that we've done, whether it's around food security or any of these other social issues. Transportation is a real problem, and you live out in a remote area, I'll just use Carroll County. You could live on the other side of the county, and if the service is available in Delphi, it's a 45-minute drive. And so you may or may not have a car available. So whether it's food distribution. Now, in food security, we use volunteers. And if it weren't for the churches, we would have a lot of food insecurity issues in our rural communities. But because of our churches, taking turns at buddy packs and working in the food pantries and literally distributing food out to people. If it weren't for the churches, we would have some very major issues just in addressing that need. So transportation is a is an issue.
So with the meth issue, would you say, and would really like to understand, the resources exist, but it's access to the resources that's the problem, or
yes.
Do we need more resources?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
When doing this, when starting this paper and starting this research, what statistics did you use? What research methods did you apply to gather your data? Because from what I understand, it's a bit slippery and hard to get a grasp on what's really going on the ground.
Well, yes. If you're making meth, you don't exactly go register somewhere. So it's not, or you don't go get a permit.
Yeah.
So data is hard to find. And the only data that we could find on this is the seizure rate that is reported by law enforcement. And it that was the only data source that we could reliable. And even with that, there were some questions. I have had some calls from counties saying, you know, their numbers were a little bit different. And I think it's not so much the actual number. It's more, is this an issue? And what are the things that can be done? And what's the consequences of this in our communities? So I'm not an expert in this. I'm still discovering and mm-hmm. trying to learn more.
Sure.
But I do care very much about my community. And I know that we can only be as strong as our weakest person in the community. So as we look at economic development and trying to bring more jobs into our community and higher paying jobs, which is terribly important, we also have to look at some of these social issues. And we're being neglectful if we don't. And we have some very hardworking people in our court systems and our attorneys. We have just some incredible people there in Carroll County that are working very hard. Way overworked. I don't know how they do what they do because they are just so overextended and in a very stressful area. And I can't imagine going through the days that they must have some days where they feel just totally hopeless for some of the individuals that they're dealing with. This was new to me. I'm privileged.
Mm-hmm.
I have a great job. I have a good income. I have a car that's stuck in a snowbank right now, but otherwise I have a car. I'm very privileged. And these aren't the issues that I face, but more and more of our population in our rural communities are dealing with these issues. And it's becoming generational. And that concerns me greatly. So I don't want to be an alarmist. That's mm-hmm. not the point. But I think the point is for those of us who do have an income and we have a good job and we have a vehicle and we have a home that's warm. We just don't get it. And it's time that we wake up. That's a little preachy, I'm sorry.
But oh, that's okay.
I think it's waking up to the rest of our society.
I think you're absolutely right. And I might add on that those of us who are privileged have a responsibility to those who are less so.
What can we do?
Yeah, because I think all of us can look at times in our lives when we needed help, maybe not to the extent that we're talking about some of these people, but somebody provided us with some help or encouragement or something that made a difference in our lives, and we owe that to our fellow people.
Mm-hmm. And I think that really is the question now that we should focus on is what can we do? Say, you know, to our listeners, they hear this podcast, or to Ken and I, you know, we're discussing this issue with you, and now we want to do something. We want to learn more. We want to see how we can help with this. What do we do?
Well, I think we have to probably look community by community and start talking with people. Law enforcement in the local community is very involved in this effort. There have been meth task forces. This is something I'm personally looking into. I don't know exactly what they have done or what they were able to achieve. So I'm personally looking into that. But it's about starting to ask some questions and asking these very questions. What can we do? I think there are some programs around mentoring that possibly would be helpful, even for younger children in the high schools and junior high that are by themselves after school, and there's no parents, and they get bored, and, you know, things may be just pretty tempting. And we've tried mentoring programs. I think those are wonderful to be with children during those hours when the parents aren't able to be there, looking at programs like that. I don't know the answers, but I think we need to start talking and probing and talking with the people that do know. I know the judges in our counties deal with this on a daily basis. I know our social workers are dealing with this on a daily basis. Those are the individuals that know, and those are the individuals that I know would have insights to help find the answers. I also know they are so stretched and stressed,
of course,
I would guess, too,
yes,
because of just what they're dealing with, but stretched to the limit. Mm-hmm. And they may even just like to have a hug from the community and say, what can we do to help?
Yes.
I know they would like more resources.
Yeah, definitely. Just to recap, Dr. Janet Ayres is the head of the Center for Rural Development in the Department of Agricultural Economics at Purdue University. And we're discussing her Rural Issues paper, Methamphetamine Use in Rural Communities. Janet, where can people go to access this paper if they want to read more?
There's two places where it can be found. You can go to the Extension Education Store, type in rural issues, and all 12 of the papers should be there, are there. The other site is the Agricultural Economics Department website, and go to
the drop-down menu
the
for centers.
Menu for the centers. Mm-hmm. And the Center for Rural Development, and all 12 of the papers are there as well.
Okay,
so
great.
Two different ways to access them.
These are great resources for anybody, whether they live in a rural community or not, whether they're involved in leadership in the community, but certainly anybody who cares about their community really should go and check out these resources. They're amazing. There's some amazing information there.
Janet, Ken, and I really want to thank you for joining us today to talk about this extremely important and serious issue. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. We'll keep probing on this. Thank you.
Indeed.
Thanks, Janet.